بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Abdus Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu. The title is Naye Ja Momina Ata Ho Rahe Hain. Jo Har Dam Khuda Par Fida Ho Rahe فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ خمر کوہن تو قوی تر ہے لیکن نئے جام مینا عطا ہو رہے ہیں وہ خمر کوہن تو قوی تر ہے لیکن عطا ہو رہے ہیں کبھی قلب دے کر کبھی جان دے کر رہے عشق میں با وفا ہو رہے ہیں خوشی اپنی ان خوشی پر لٹا کر ہم اب اہل صدق و صفا ہو رہے ہیں جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں کبھی پی رہے ہیں لہو آرزو کا مٹا کر خودی با خدا ہو رہے ہیں کبھی پی رہے لہو آرزو کا مٹا کر خودی با خدا ہو رہے ہیں تجھے ہو مبارک یہ اشک ندامت نئے باب الفت کے وا ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائقوں پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے ہیں یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائقوں پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہی ہے محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہی ہے جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہی ہے فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ وکفا والسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفا. اما بعد, this very beautiful بیان of our honorable illustrious دادا شیخ عارف باللہ رومی ہے وقت تبریز زمانہ مجدد زمانہ حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ. حضرت is teaching us in this beautiful bayan here in a very beautiful way. Allah حضرت has presented it in ashar form, in couplet form, in other words presenting deen to us in such an enjoyable and delicious way to realize that why Allah Ta'ala has sent us here on the face of the earth, not just to pass our life, but Allah has sent us for a very, very great objective. And a person who fulfills this objective of his life, and that is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, to gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more a person gets the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person starts realizing that I should just give my life only and solely to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when this happens, then Hazrat explains, now a person is in a different world. He is in the part of the true world, and that is the part of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, when we don't realize this object and purpose, then we live in all artificial worlds. And a person puts himself into misery. You love your life in an imaginary world, and all the time desiring the artificial things of this world. Whereas a person who has realized his object and purpose of his life is to find Allah, then that person every moment of his life, Hazrat says, نَيَ جَامُ مِينَا أَطَاهُ رَحِيهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses such a person with the drink of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this drink of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat has given the beautiful the explanation of this. And the example of this is like people who waste their lives in the taverns, and they think they are enjoying life, but they don't realize that they are making a total mess of their life. And real enjoyment of life is in the taverns, where the dish and where the goblets and the jars of the love of Allah Ta'ala is being distributed. And this is these majalis, where the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are distributing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person realizes, جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہا ہے. Then a person, the moment his focus of life comes to light, that Allah has given me my life, and my life should be sacrificed upon Allah Rabbul Izzat and nobody else, then such a person, every moment of his life, when he is being loyal in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he sees automatically he becomes disinclined from all the artificial temptations of this world, the artificial idols of this world, whether today it is sport, whether it is businesses and work, illicit love affairs, etc. A person becomes totally disinclined towards it. Friends will be going to places, you're not even interested in those places, because now you have realized that Allah has given me this life, I have to give my life to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then Hazrat explains, in this part of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَخُمْرِ قَحَنْتُ قَوِيْتَرْ هِ لَيْكِنْ نَيَ جَامُ مِينَ عَتَا هُ رَحَائِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you now with the drink of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you stay in the obedience of Allah, the more this love of Allah Ta'ala becomes so strong
that you enjoy. The old wine is very, very strong and enjoyable. But as you tread the path of the love of Allah, which is unlimited, the love of Allah Ta'ala has got no end and there's no shores. So the more you enjoy the obedience of Allah, the more you want more and more. So Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with more and more enjoyable drinks in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In other words, now the different enjoyment of tilawat, the different enjoyment of just coming to the majlis and paying attention with the intention of gaining the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then such a person now, his heart is totally getting detached from this artificial world. And his heart is getting connected to the real world. And what is that? Kabhi kalb dekar, kabhi jaan dekar, rahe ishq mein ba wafa ho raha hai. Now he realizes that I'm on my path of towards the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this path of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is not a path that you can tread on your own. So beautifully, on behalf of all the mashayikh, Wana Muhammad Ahmad Pattab Gari Rahmatullah Ali used to say that tanha nahi chal sakoge muhabbat ke raah mein, hum chal rahe hai, tum hamare saath chalo. That in the spot of the love of Allah, you won't able to tread it yourself. We are walking on the spot, we have learned from our elders, so you just follow us. So when you follow in the spot of the love of Allah, you will realize that sometimes you will have to sacrifice your heart. Sometimes you'll have to sacrifice your life in the obedience of Allah. Because the spot of the love of Allah Ta'ala, you will get, you will all the time get tested. It doesn't mean the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they don't get tested. According to their level, shaitan comes with different forms and tests, and Allah Ta'ala's tests come upon such people. But Allah Ta'ala gives those people strength also. The more you become obedient to the commands of Allah, Allah Ta'ala gives you the ability and tawfiq now. As Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, that those people who went through the most tests in the part of the love of Allah are the Anbiya Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Then those that want to follow in their footsteps, then a person will learn how to give his heart and to give his life for the pleasure of Allah. Shaitan will put lot of thoughts in your mind. But like our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that you'll tell Shaitan, I will die but I will never obey you. I will only obey Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when a person does this, then khushi apni unki khushi par lutakar, hum ab ahl sidq wa safa ho rahe hain. Now a person realizes that my desires are calling me in a way totally opposite to the commands of Allah, but I'll rather sacrifice my desires. I'll break my desires for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in doing this, now a person becomes a real true slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He becomes Ahli Sidq. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says, Kunum As-Sadiqeen. That be what the true pious servants of Allah. In other words, those people who have polished their hearts. Their hearts have become pure and Allah Ta'ala's love is penetrating that heart. Those are the true servants of Allah. That every moment they have got just two worries. One is, I must not disobey Allah for a moment. And second is, that when Malakul Maut comes to me, I must have complete and perfect Iman and perfect love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So in doing this, Allah Hazrat explains that in walking this path of the love of Allah, kabhi pi rahe hai lahu aazuka mitakar khudi ba khuda ho raha hai. That you see such a person, now he is drinking the blood of his own desires. You're desiring, it's not that you are you won't desire anything. You will have lot of desires and shaitan will put these desires in front of you. But you will drink the blood of those desires. That I will not break the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And for this, a person now becomes the humble slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As you humble yourself in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you annihilating your own self. But ba khuda ho raha hai. You are becoming more and more connected to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this is the way to get connected to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That within ourselves, all this ana, that I am somebody, I need to fulfill my desires, etc. Till a person doesn't learn to crush his desires, till then we cannot become the slaves of Allah. The true friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, For that, this is the spark of the love of Allah. That is why all the time a person needs somebody above him. A person needs the mashayikh to guide us. And all the time break the passion and desires within us. And when this happens, Hazrat says, Tujhe ho mubarak ya ashke nadamat. Nahi babu ulfat ke wa ho raha hai. That as a person now treads the path of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looks at his past life and he makes tawbah, istighfar, and tears flow from his eyes that, oh Allah, how could I waste my life in your disobedience? And as Hazrat explained so beautifully, that today we are crying, that the rains are not coming down from the heavens, but let the tears come out from our eyes, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will come down. And Hazrat says, these tears that come out, which is the tears of regret, and regret in reality is tawbah, that a person just thinks, Allah gave me my life, how could I spend my life in a disobedience of Allah? When a person sheds these tears, and Allah is so kind, even if our hearts have become so hard and we can't shed tears, Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala to inform us that pretend that you are crying, still Allah's rahmat will come upon us. Allah is so kind that in this way, Hazrat says, Naye babi ulfat ke wa ho raha hai. That now you're getting new enjoyment of the love of Allah that comes into your heart now. Now you see, you are eager to make tilawat. You are eager to make your zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your friends are changing, etc. Now there are different doors of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are opening for you. And this is not now that you think that I am becoming a very great pious person, but a person now realizes, Ye shane karam hai ke nalai kopar, karam unke har dam ata ho raha hai. That this is only Allah Ta'ala's special favor upon me. Where me and talking of the love of Allah, where me and sitting in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah allows me to come into the masjid, a useless and a filthy person like myself, na like that is totally worthless. And as Hazrat teaches us so beautifully, that even if you realize that you are worthless, just come in the company of those that are like the true friends of Allah, and see how Allah Ta'ala will change your whole life. That Hazrat says, now you'll see that every moment Allah is just blessing you with different enjoyments of real life. And real life is when you start getting the reality of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us a brief idea of this reality, that real enjoyment of life is when a person starts getting the ma'rifat of Allah and the azmat, the greatness of Allah and the love of Allah Ta'ala starts coming in the heart. Then Hazrat says, Muhabbat ki akhtar karamat to dekho, ke sultan hokar gada ho raha hai. That, oh Akhtar, look at this karamat, look at the miracle of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people have realized that the real wealth of the world and of both the worlds is the love of Allah, then people that were artificial kings of this world, they gave up their kingdom for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Hazrat is referring to most probably Sultan Ibrahim ibn Adam ibn Rahmatul Alay. That Hazrat says, look at him, he was the king once upon a time. But for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave up his kingdom and lived like an ordinary slave on the bank of the river and making muraqabah, thinking of Allah Ta'ala's greatness in the obedience of Allah, gave away his royal clothing and now sitting with his old blanket and stitching his blanket. When one of his ministers come past and they're taking their morning ride and they see who is that old man stitching his blanket, an old blanket with a rusted needle. When they come closer, they see this is the King Sultan Ibrahim Adam Rahmatullahi. And in the heart of that minister comes that how foolish is this person. He was the king, he had royal clothing. And see, he is sitting like an ordinary mendicant, like an ordinary poor person. Allah puts kashf in his heart. And Allah Ta'ala makes him to show this minister what is the real kingdom. Immediately he takes his needle and throws it into the river. And he makes dua to Allah that, oh Allah, I want my needle back. Allah Ta'ala commands, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi mentions this incident. Allah Ta'ala commands 100,000 fish to bring up golden needles for them. He makes dua that, oh Allah, I want my own needle. Allah Ta'ala sends one fish down and he brings up his rusted needle. He looks at the minister and he says, which kingdom was better? Was that kingdom better that artificially I was looking like a king, but I had no reality of life? Yeah, outwardly I'm looking like an ordinary pauper, ordinary poor person. But what connection I have got with the kings of kings, Allah Rabbul Izzat. Agar tu ek mera, to har shay meri. And that is what we have come to learn here. When we become Allah's, everything will be ours, and then we won't look at the world. Now we will be just looking at how I can get closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us all this reality.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In our morning Quran Sharif Dars lesson, discussion came about the gunas and the effects of the sins have on a person. In this ayat karima, Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, give up, stay away, avoid all types of sin. Zahiran, which are open sin, and batina, which are inside sins also. So normally when a person does become conscious and he wants to become deeni wise, then outwardly he mashallah changes, he starts keeping a beard, wears topi, kurta, but it is seldom that we focus on the inside gunas, and they are the more serious gunas. Kufr is inside the heart, shirk is inside the heart, nifaq, hypocrisy is inside the heart. Outside we can be dressed like us, we can be like so pious, our namazes can be also performing our namazes, roza, hajj, umrah, everything. But the inside gunas also. So anyway, all the gunas, whether they are outside gunas or whether they are inside gunas, we must give them all up. And Allah make it that we become conscious and realize that our real enemy in life is only our sins. There is no country that is our enemy really. There is no nation that is our enemy. Allah uses them against us. When we disobey Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا, that those who are more serious sinners and oppressors, Allah uses them on those who are the lesser oppressors. So Allah uses them. Allah doesn't come Himself and He comes and punishes us again. Allah doesn't send the malaika also usually, though that is also in the system of Allah Ta'ala. But in this world, Allah Ta'ala uses somebody, then we say he's our enemy or something. Like for example, a beautiful example is given that if you throw a stone at a dog also, the dog won't run behind the stone. That the stone is hurting me, the stone is harming me, it will know who threw the stone. So we also should understand really that who we think is our enemy is not really our enemy. Our enemy is somebody else. It is our own actions. What actions we send up, and then accordingly Allah Ta'ala, the reaction, the conditions Allah sends accordingly. So what we really have to be concerned about is our sin. And to give up sin is more greater than doing lot of nafil ibadat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Stay away from all haram things, and you will be counted by Allah Ta'ala, you will be regarded as the one who makes the most ibadat. And this beautifully our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that there is no boss in the world that can tell his workers that don't work and I will give you the most pay. Yeah, if you don't work then you are fired. But Allah says don't work, and Hazrat says committing guna is also work. Whether it is inside work, your mind you are using, jealousy you've got, hatred you have got, or worse, or your outside hands, legs you are using to commit some guna, fighting with somebody, swearing somebody, all that is also work. So just give up this work of guna, and Allah will count you amongst those who make the most ibadah. And also it is narrated, to give up one atom of sin of guna is more better than the ibadat of the jinn and ins altogether also. So we should be concerned of giving up guna. And we should think like that. Generally a person also thinks, I'm not in guna. Usually our clothing, beard, topi, turban, and then we are quite content that I'm all right. And we look at other people who are not dressed Islamically, etc., and then we feel that I'm all right. We get deceived by that. Many times a person gets deceived by his titles also. He's a Maulana, he's a Hafiz, he's a Qari. So we are all right, we are pious people. But if we have got pride in us, if we have got jealousy in us, it's a very dangerous, dangerous condition of a person. Or we're going for Hajj regularly, Umrah regularly, we're going Jamaat regularly, so we feel I'm all right. Other people don't do Jamaat work, I do Jamaat work, I go for Umrah, I go Khanqah, and a person gets Khilafat, is even more in danger. Because pride comes more in that person, I got Khilafat. And some people regard Khilafat as a certificate of Jannat. It's no certificate of Jannat. It is now, in fact, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, one of the various reasons of giving Khilafat is that a person now becomes more conscious of himself. That now that I've been given Khilafat, I must be more conscious. So anyway, our sins are our worst enemies. And they cause all the harm for us in our lives. And Allah Ta'ala says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What has Allah got to do to punish you this way, that way, this one, this problem, that problem? If you are obedient to Allah, then there is no need for all that. So our sins brings the conditions upon us. So therefore, we should avoid all types of sin. And sin, when it brings these conditions on us, then a person also feels restless, uncomfortable. And if Allah wants to raise the stages of a person, then Allah Ta'ala gives that person itminan in his heart. He gets sabr also. He accepts that conditions also. Outwardly, he seems to be in difficulty, but he has got tafweez. Allah gives him that he submits to Allah. That Allah, you have decided this for me, and he's happy in that condition. Outwardly, he seems to be in difficulty, but inwardly, he is happy. And when it is a punishment of sin, ulama have explained, the sign of it is that a person now is unhappy. Why am I feeling like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? That is a sign that it is because of his sins, that his condition. And Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave this beautiful example of what the terrible effects of sin are on a person and how it harms a person. That a person who got married, he was wetting the bed every night. He used to urinate in the bed. His wife said, "This small children do. You're a grown-up person and you're messing the bed." So he says, actually what happens is that when I sleep, I dream that Shaitan comes to me in my dreams and he takes me for a long walk. And after a long time, a person has to visit the toilet, he wants to urinate. So I tell Shaitan, I need to urinate now. So then he shows me an ultra hygienic, more than very clean toilet. And in my dream, I go there and I do my thing. But then I realized it was in the bed. It was a dream and it happened in the bed. So the wife says, if Shaitan is such a good friend of yours and he comes every night and he takes you for a long walk, why don't you tell him, you know, we are poor people and Shaitan is a jinn and the jinn know all where money is kept everywhere. So tell him to show you where money is kept, some treasure, etc. So he said, that's a bright idea. So I will tell Shaitan. Shaitan came in his dream again. He told him that my wife says this. So he says, no problem, come, I will show you. Why didn't you tell me? Long ago I should have taken you. So he took him to a place where there was a big chest of all valuables, diamonds, gold, silver, cash, all, lot of money. So he was very excited. And also it was very heavy. When he went and picked it up, he made number two. So the wife asked in the morning, this is now, what is this? I told you to bring money. This is worse than what you were doing. So he explained. So this is just what Maulana Thani Rahmatullah explained. But the real thing is the moral. That urinating in the bed is so filthy, so dirty. And doing number two is even much, much, much more worse. Hazrat says that sins are even worse than that. If a person does his number one, number two in the toilet, it's also filthy, dirty. Even if he's a wali of Allah Ta'ala, it is napak, it is najis. You flush it down, it goes away. But it is napak and najis. But in the bed, how terrible it is. And worse than this are our sins also. Every sin, it is narrated in the hadith, when a person lies, the bad smell, foul odor that comes, the malaika who are appointed to protect him, they can't tolerate that smell also. And they also go to a far distance. And then when we haven't got that protection, Allah gave us that protection. We broke it. We cancelled the contract, so to say. Then we have faced problems in our lives. When a person makes ghibat, on one occasion, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was with the Sahaba and a very small, foul smell came. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam asked the Sahaba, do you know what is the smell? Yeah, sometimes the sewage, when they don't put their chemicals or something, we get that foul smell. But he asked them, they said, no, we don't know. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, this is the munafiqeen who are biting about the Muslims. Just because of that, this terrible smell. We can't smell it, and ulama have explained in the Mubarak Zamana of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when there was so much of purity, then they could make out all these things. That the ladies who had backbited, and when they were asked to vomit, actually fresh pieces of meat came out. Who were fasting, and they were almost like dying in that fast. So all those effects could be seen at that time. Today we are, our example is like a girl who was the daughter of a person who sells itar. And she was used to smelling the wonderful smell of fragrance of itar. She got married to a person who was who worked with leather, tanner, or somebody like that. And there when she went, now that smell, all when they work with all that leather of theirs, it gives a very unlikable smell. So one day, after some time, her mother came and visited her. So her mother asked her, how do you live here? With this terrible foul smell here, how do you live here? She said, no problem, mommy. You just stay a few days, you'll also get used to it. So we who are so used to this here, we don't feel it anything whatsoever. Also, Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali has explained that these people used to take the night soil, the dirt of the from the toilets when they weren't flush system toilets. So one of them became unconscious and he fell down. So all the people tried to revive him. There was a chemist, they brought all things for him to smell and all wonderful sweet smelling things. He just wasn't getting revived. So then one friend of his came and saw, and he asked what's the problem. They say, this is the problem. So he says, no, it's very easy. And he just brought some stool and he put it near his nose and he jumped up. He got revived because that is what appealed to him. So we are used to, unfortunately, so our sins also, all of us, Allah make us all mark, we are blind also to our own sins. We commit sin. The Quran Sharif says that those people who, when they believe us, when they commit sin, then immediately they become conscious. It shakes them. What has happened? What did I do? Yeah. But we just commit sin one way and nothing happens to us. We speak to other women or anything. We watch all filthy things, anything. Our eyes wander around. Ghibat we make and we will be enjoying it. We will laugh and enjoy making ghibat, etc. So unfortunately, so it's very, very important that we become conscious of this thing here also, of the giving up of sin. So anyway, in the tafsir it is explained that when a person commits sin, which is a famous hadith, we are all aware of it, that a black spot forms on his heart. And if he makes tawbah, it goes away. And if not, another, when he commits another sin, until his whole sin becomes black. And this is the first stage which the ulama explained of rain. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim. That now rust has settled on their heart. And the whole heart has become rust, like covered in rust. Now that person, goodness doesn't go in his heart. Now this person is in a more dangerous situation. He doesn't see sun as sun. And he doesn't see the right as right. And the person will be doing the wrong and will be finding fault with the people who are doing right. And he will be always said, well, these people are living in the dark ages, or these people are, they don't know where they are. This is because the heart now has become like that. So that is the first stage, the ulama have explained, where the heart, where this rust overtakes the heart. And that becomes a condition that now he doesn't see the truth as truth, the wrong as wrong. Therefore, the du'as are also very necessary to correct our condition. Then if a person commits even more gunas, there is a riwayat also that by the arsh, one of the legs of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, one farishta angel is appointed that when a person commits sins openly, brazenly, and he just doesn't care, and he's just committing sins and very like publicly, brazenly, and he says, I don't care for this, and I don't care for that person, and for this person, then the work of this farishta angel, Allah tells him that go and now put a seal on the heart of that person. Now that person's heart becomes sealed now. And when the seal comes on the person, وَعَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah puts a seal on the hearts of that person now. Now that person goes even more. Now he can't understand anything whatsoever. What is right, as Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told the Sahaba, a time will come when people will see the wrong as right and the right as wrong. Which Hazrat Shaykh al Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that is the time when a person regards poison as medicine and he regards medicine as poison. What hope is there for the health of that person when he has gone to that stage? So that stage becomes. Then if a person still commits more gunas, no tawbah, etc., then the stage comes where the heart, now Allah puts locks on those hearts. Now those hearts are completely sealed. From the stage where rust covered the heart, and then now where they are sealed, and then locks are put on that heart. When that stage comes, then a person normally, our ibadat we don't enjoy. We don't even want to go to the masjid anymore. We don't see our success in deen. Our success now we see in all the wrong things. We see our fun and enjoyment in the worst type of gunas now. And those who are not coming into this guna, we feel that they are being left out. They don't understand what is what the fun of life and the enjoyment of life. So these are three stages the ulama have explained, and we all have to be very, very conscious. And this is from all type of sin. And then in sin again, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, we are all sinners. And sometimes we are all in the same sin. But some are at a very deeply in that sin. And some are lightly in that sin. But in that sin, we are all. Like for example, a person with bad nazri. Somebody maybe little bit here and there he sees, but he also falls prey to it. And somebody may be involved so heavily in that. Somebody in ghibat, now and then sometimes he makes ghibat. Or he listens to some ghibat sometimes. And somebody who is heavily involved in it. So he says we are all in some level, we are involved in sin. Or it is that one person is involved in one type of a sin, another person in another type of a sin. Like one person might be an alcoholic, he is involved in that sin. And we will look down upon him perhaps, Allah forgive us, and perhaps we will pass many comments and remarks about him. And we might be involved in the sin of jealousy, hasad for somebody. And hasad in the ulama, it comes, is very common also. that one alim has got hasad for another alim, so that also, and so he's involved in that sense, though outwardly he might look so pious. And the thing is that we are not conscious of this, that we feel we are all right. When a person becomes conscious that I'm a sinner, like in anything, especially when it comes to alcoholics or drug addicts, etc., the first thing normally they say, as long as a person is in denial, he can't get help and he can't come out of it. He has to first admit that I'm wrong, I've done wrongs. So with the stages like that, but then Allah Ta'ala's mercy also has got no limit. Even when it reaches right to that stage, still there are doors open for a person. And for this year, when all this happens and Allah puts the seal, Allah puts the lock, then it is, we can understand it easily, that a person who is born in any country, he's a free person, like he's a small child, he grows up, he can go to the parks, he can go to the schools, he can go to the universities, he can take a flight from the airport, he's allowed, everything is allowed to do. Walk on the streets, etc. But if he commits a crime of the country, he goes against the country, any laws of the country he breaks, and now he's arrested, he's put on trial, he's found guilty, now he's put in prison for 5 years, 10 years, life sentence, now he is barred of everything. Now he can no more go to the airports and take a flight where he wants to go. He can't go to the station, take a train and go. Now he's in a cell. He's locked up. Because of his wrongdoing, now he's deprived of all this. So when we, in the laws of Allah Ta'ala, when we broke the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah also puts us in that cell. Now we are in that cell, though outwardly we are free, but we are in a cell. Now we can't see righteousness. Now we can't see the nur of sunnah. And we can't see the enjoyment of ibadat and all the right things. Now our eyes are sealed. So this condition has come upon that person. But just like that person who is in the cell also, if he comes to his mind now, what have I done to my life? My family is suffering. I was the breadwinner. And now my family, they are all just suffering the disgrace, the humiliation I brought on them, the suffering I brought, and he starts behaving properly. Then soon they will be let him out on parole. They set him out a year, a few years before time. His behavior was good. The same way, if a person now, he realizes everyone, and this is also the fazl of Allah. And when it comes in the heart of any person, and Allah in His kindness gives this opportunity to everyone, that I must make tawbah. How am I going to, how long am I going? Every person, even if the heart is, locks have been put on, still it comes to that person also. All of us can witness it. It comes to us that, what am I doing? How am I living my life? I must change my life. I must correct my life. This is a great favor of Allah. And this gift that comes of Allah, of making tawbah, we must welcome that gift. And when a person welcomes that gift, and he makes that tawbah now, and there are du'as also specifically. For example, for the worst stage of locks on the heart, the dua is clearly, Allahumma ftah aqfal qulubina bi dhikrik. O Allah, all not lock, but the locks which are on my heart, you open them up by your dhikr. So we have been taught, this shows us that even if not one lock, but locks have been put, the dhikr is the key. So turn now to the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Go into such majalis, even if you don't. And one thing we have to understand, many of us, we feel that I'm not getting enjoyment in my ibadat, what I'm doing. Enjoyment is not the object. To fulfill the command of Allah is the objective. With enjoyment, without enjoyment, we have to carry on and fulfill Allah's commandment. And if Allah, we carry on, and Allah gives us the enjoyment also of practicing on deen, namaz, tilawat, etc., teaching, tabligh, khanqa, making bayans, if Allah gives the enjoyment also, alhamdulillah, even more better. But the enjoyment is not the objective. And there is detail in that also. Ulama have written, ibadat without enjoyment is even more superior than enjoyment with enjoyment. Because then you are doing it solely for Allah's pleasure. And when you get enjoyment, it's probable because you and you're doing it for your nafs sake. You are enjoying that ibadat. And when you know enjoyment and you're still carrying on, which we must carry on, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes more on that person that is doing it solely for me. On one occasion, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, it's a dua of our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, that, oh Allah, in my taqdeer, if my khatima, my end of my life is written on kufr, on disbelief, you change it and change it into belief. So even if it is written in our taqdeer, and Hazrat Jazahumullah Khair, what didn't our mashayikh teach us? That taqdeer is not above Allah Ta'ala. Taqdeer doesn't rule Allah Ta'ala. Allah told the pen to write, and it wrote everything. But that does not control Allah. Allah is not a worker of taqdeer, na'uzu billah. That now what has been written, that Allah is... No, Allah is above everything. And Allah gave us the great, wonderful power of dua. And by dua, we can get to ask Allah to even change our taqdeer. Even if for somebody, kufr is written, su'e khatima is written, then we make dua, Allah will change it. And we do make dua, we plead with Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written that a person who is not accepting Islam, tell him at least to beg of Allah that, oh Allah, you show me the true path. He says, at least on the day of Qiyamah, you can tell Allah, I did ask you for the right path. So Allah is that merciful, kind being who has left all the doors open. As our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, that if a car comes in an accident and it is reduced to like a sardine tin, so it is crushed completely, or even today just little few bumps also, then the panel beater says beyond repair. But Allah Ta'ala, for a person, he can be at what ebb. Allah never says beyond repair. Hey Allah, you just turn to Allah, and Allah puts that da'iyah, that desire in your heart that I must make tawbah, I must correct. So when that thought comes little bit, whatever little, today I must read little Quran, read today. Today I must go and meet a pious person, or who we think is a pious person, my friend. Go and meet that person. Today, passing the masjid, let me go to the masjid. Go to the masjid. Whatever it is, just use it and Allah will bring us to. When Allah forgave the person who killed not only 99 but 100 people, Allah forgave him. So Allah's doors of mercy are wide open. So on the one side, we must understand the terrible effects of guna and sins, and understand the zahiri gunas also and batini gunas also. And the safest route for us to take when halat come on us, it is because of my wrongdoing. We mustn't think that I'm a buzurg now and Allah Ta'ala is raising my stages. To think like that is dangerous for us. For us, the safe route is that it is my wrongdoing and I have to make tawbah. And a person turns in sincerity with tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, with istighfar, Allah starts opening the doors for that person. And not only that, Allahu Akbar, there are those awliya which today we know them, they are brilliant stars of Islam. But the condition before that, some were addicted to the bottle, some were highway robbers, some were what and what their conditions were. But where? When they made the tawbah, when the occasion came and they turned to Allah, Allah made them those awliya who guided millions, and until today they are the guiding stars of millions of people. So we must never ever lose hope also. Never think my doors are completely closed and what has happened is I am the cause of it. I committed the gunas and I brought it upon myself. Now just let me come out of it. And we reform. And that is the purpose for what we come here, why we speak. I'm in need of it. All of us are in need. Nobody can think that I have to tell somebody else. I myself am in need. That is the purpose of going in Jamaat also. That we correct ourselves, we make the effort, and by that, alhamdulillah, how many other people get hidayah? That's the purpose of becoming a hafiz and alim also, that when we have learned, now we try and help others also, we correct first our own life. And then, so together with that, we speak about it all the time. And a person should speak of the weaknesses which are within him. And he's addressing himself when he speaks. And he benefits, others also benefit. So Allah Ta'ala make us conscious of this and let us realize this. And if we take out some time to think, especially these veils which are put, the heart, a seal is put, and on the ear also, on the hearing, for quwwat as-sami'ah, on our hearing, bayans are given, but if a seal is put, we find fault in that person who is giving bayan. That this mistake in him, that mistake in him, and we don't see. But if the seal is not there, we benefit what he says, and it makes sense to us, we accept it. And on the eyes also a veil is put. When the veil is put on the eyes also, a person can't see the truth also. So what we have to do is we have to turn to Allah, and Allah gives everyone that occasion. That how many non-believers, where and what condition? Some just before they mort also. Hey, they came, and one person in America in a hospital. He was a patient, non-Muslim, and a Muslim patient. Muslim patient, lot of people came and visit him. So the non-Muslim asked him, "Who are these? All your family?" He said, "No, not my family. Some are family, others are not family, but so many come." He says, "The teaching of our deen, somebody is ill, you must go and visit the ill person." So he said that, "Can't I also become a Muslim then?" So he said, "Yes, you can become a Muslim also." So he said, "How do I become?" So he said, "Read the kalima." So he read it. Now his tongue was not accustomed to kalima, he couldn't get it right. Practicing, falling asleep. Just a Muslim man falling asleep. Finally, as he got it right, he passed away. So Allah put that in him, just this little thing, and he turned towards it. Allah opened, and he's gone straight to Jannah. So like that, we also, Allah gives us those. Allah give us the tawfiq, that whenever that the opportunity comes, take the opportunity. Just I feel like doing little bit good. I should do this. I should do that. Do it. I must read today a 2 extra rakat salatu tawbah. Read that 2 rakat. I must give some sadaqah. Sadaqah is another very great, Allah gave us a great gift. Sadaqah, and even if it is a piece of a khajur, a little piece, but it will save a person from a bad death. It will grant a person a good death. Problems which are in our lives, they will go away. Problems which are on their way, Allah will stop them. Sadaqah is also a great thing. So everything Allah has given in our deen, we spoil things. We went and mess up things, yet Allah didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us like a person who is the black sheep in the family. He's chased out of the house. Nobody to care for him. Allah didn't leave us like that. Still, Allah gave us the opportunities. Our whole deen. And today, especially in our environment here, so many ulama, so many pious people, so many deeni efforts, bayans, all efforts of deen are taking place. We should take advantage. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that no matter, we should be worried about the sin. And we should think that which sin am I involved in? Am I involved in the sin of pride? Sometimes a person doesn't realize that he himself, and a person himself can't see his wrong also. Therefore it comes in the hadith also that a mu'min is a mirror of a mu'min. And how beautifully the ulama have explained, when you look in a mirror, the mirror will tell you exactly what faults you have got on you. It won't hide from you. Your friend won't tell you, you got a black mark here or this dirt here. But the mirror will tell you properly. And the mirror won't exaggerate also. It won't tell you less than what it is. Exactly as it is, the mirror will tell you. And once you move away, the mirror deletes everything. He doesn't keep it also. The next person who goes, the mother won't tell the next person, the person who was before you, he had this fault in him, he had that fault. That is how a mu'min should be with a mu'min. We should see one another. And one is that we see our fault, and when we see other mu'min, Allah bring us that we see the good. He's got so much good. He makes so much tilawat. He makes so much zikr. He does this. I'm void of this. So see these things. Bring them. He's got so much humility in him. So much of khidmat he makes. So much he thinks of the poor and needy. So much he's doing work of deen. All this we see. I need it also. I have it. But when our mirror is dirty, and then we see everything wrong. We see somebody, we see their faults only. And we don't see their good. So we should see, if we can see the good of people, and that good must come in me. And we make dua, Ya Allah, what you have blessed them with, bless me also with that. How they are hafiz, how beautifully they read Quran Sharif, how much they make a khidmat of deen, Ya Allah, bless me also with that. Then inshallah, we will benefit just by being with the believers also. And in gatherings like this again, Allah makes it that the noor of iman of everyone is in the environment now. And each one of us are benefiting from that noor of that environment. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand the evil and terrible consequences of sins, what sins are. Be concerned of our outward sins also, inward sins also, the sins of the heart, pride, etc. And today is a very dangerous time when shaitan is attacking right directly on aqidah. And our aqidahs can easily go off. So we have to be very careful that today our aqidah, the whole of deen, everything, and everything is a protection for the next thing. Our mustahabbat, for our nawafil, for our sunnat-e-mu'akkadah, wajib, faraz, and faraz, all this protection of our iman. But when we break all the protection, now the attack is directly on our iman. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, let us realize and make tawbah of our sins. And Allah is always loving and kind and gives us the opportunity, no matter what condition we are, we ask for forgiveness, Allah forgives that person. A person who killed 9,900 people, how many life sentences will be on him? But that one tawbah of his, and he was set free completely. And he's gone straight to Jannat. And for Jannat, يَتَبَوَّعُ مِنْهَا حَيْثَ يَشْ. Wherever you want to, you go. You have what you want to. Freedom for you there. You just do what you want to. You are given freedom. So Allah bless us with these realities and guide us to righteousness.